Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. We are honored this morning to be joined by Denise Didier, an amazing woman who is battling cancer without insurance. Denise is getting treatment at the Brzezinski Clinic, which is written about in Suzanne Summers' number one bestseller, Knockout. Denise, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Denise, what type of cancer do you have, and when did you find out about it?
I have breast cancer, specifically infiltrating ductal carcinoma, and I was diagnosed in February 2008. I found the lump actually in February of 2008, February 12th, Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, and I was going through menopause, and I was, you know, told that this is not uncommon for, mastitis is not uncommon for women going my age. Oh, God, I hate that term, my age, going through menopause. So when I went to go see my doctor, he was concerned, but he said, well, this it probably is mastitis, so he treated me with antibiotics. After a short term, he said, this is not right, so he referred me to a breast disease specialist in Houston, Dr. Kim Keller. And Dr. Keller diagnosed me also with a staph infection after a needle biopsy. He said it was a staph infection, and for 8 long months. Can you believe this? This man treated me for 8 months with antibiotics.
Denise, didn't he do a biopsy?
Yeah, and you know, I was looking at the biopsy results, but of course, I'm not a medical person. I don't understand. But no place on the results of the needle biopsy did I see the word staph. But I guess Dr. Keller, that's what he read, and so, like I said, for 8 months. Now, I did tell him that, you know, I did not have insurance and that I needed the most, you know, cost-effective method of treatment, but for goodness sakes, I did not mean, you know, my coffin.
Denise, when did your doctor finally figure out that it wasn't a staph infection, but that it was indeed breast cancer?
Well, every time I would go in to see him, he would do a ultrasound, and he would say, well, you know, I don't understand what this is. It's not presenting itself as a defined mass. It's a diffused mass. And, you know, I can't really tell what it is. And I'm thinking, you know, this man is a breast disease specialist. I am putting my faith and my life in his hands. So silly me. And I cannot stress this enough to anyone listening. For goodness sakes, these doctors are not gods. They should be knowledgeable, especially people who put themselves up as specialists. They should be knowledgeable. But for goodness sakes, make yourself knowledgeable. Get online. Keywords that he gave me that I should have picked up on, that it is not a diffused mass. If I'd have done a search on that, boink, right away, in inflammatory breast cancer would have come up, and I would have been much more concerned. But, you know, this gentleman is telling me, don't be alarmed. I would ask him, you know, if I had insurance, would we have taken this out by now? If I had insurance, would I have had surgery? And he assured me over and over again, no, it's just a stubborn staph infection. Don't worry about it. We'll get it. We just need to find, what did he say, the right cocktail of antibiotics. Very frustrating, and it's very frustrating to me because I've always prided myself on as being a proactive woman, and the fact that I was so subservient to this man, and not just because he was a man, that has nothing to do with it, this doctor. He's a very nice man, very gentle man, but, you know, he is a so-called breast disease specialist. And I'd like to just take that label and whomp him upside the head with it, I'm telling you. He finally said, I'm really concerned. I think we should do another biopsy. And I actually tried to put him off for a month because I couldn't afford it. I said, can we do this in a month? And he's like, okay. He kind of said, okay. And then a friend of mine pushed me. She said, no. He wants to do the biopsy now. You do it now. In fact, if you can do it ahead of time, you go in and do it. So I said, okay, we will do that. So we did the needle biopsy. I mean, the deep core biopsy, which those suckers are very painful, let me tell you. Well, because they can't deaden you all the way in your boob. Mm-hmm. And they go in and cha-ching, they take a piece of tissue, and it's not pleasant. So then he said the results would be back in about 5 working days, and they were back within 2, and he called me at work, And he said, you need to come in. And my mother, and back in, I believe it was 1984, was diagnosed with bilateral breast cancer, also infiltrating ductal carcinoma. So I kind of knew, and I was worried, and that's also why when he gave me the reassurances that it was staff, that I was like, whew, okay, I don't have to worry about this. And also my father, lymphoma. So anyway, so I got the diagnosis, and this is another thing that is really people that need to know. Number one, make yourself knowledgeable. Number two, every time you go to that doctor, get a copy of that visit. Get a copy of what he wrote down. Get a copy of what he said. That is your file. That the doctors are merely stewards of your file. It is your right to have a copy. And I don't care if you're going for a common cold, you should get a copy each and every time you go to the doctor.
Denise, that's awesome advice. And I actually learned some really good advice from my mother, who unfortunately, she passed away from ovarian cancer in 1995, but she would go to her doctor, she'd bring a tape recorder, she'd have a list of questions for him or her. And that way, when she got home, she would have written out all the answers. She would have the tape to back it up. So that way, it just kind of helped make things clearer to her exactly what they had talked about and what she needed to do from there.
That's an awesome idea. I didn't think of that, but that's an awesome idea. The thing is that here in Houston, we had a tort law passed back in 2003, which pretty much doctors are not liable for their mistakes. So there's really nothing that I can do legally. There's nothing. So anyway, to get back on the story, so I was diagnosed, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, you have cancer, oh my God, you have cancer, ah! And there was this huge rush to get me into treatment. Well, I have since found out that cancer typically takes a long time to grow, okay? And it's not just like you wake up one morning and bink, you have this tumor that was not there. Now, when I first started treatment, my tumor was only several, I don't know, like 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter. It was very small. By the time Dr. Keller finally decided to do something, it was about 6 centimeters by 3 centimeters. So I had a tumor about the size of a grapefruit in my left breast. So anyway, so we're freaking out, and let's see, within 2 days I had my port implanted, which is the device that they put in your chest so that they can stick the chemotherapy needle in, because the chemo is so abrasive that it will actually kill your veins. So I'm sorry. I told myself I wasn't going to cry.
Denise, it's fine. It's okay to cry. You've been through so much, and it's totally natural. I completely understand. And I'm one of those people that I think it's really important to feel your feelings and to get them out.
So anyway, so I had my port implanted, and then I started chemo. And, oh, isn't this sad? As a woman, this is so dang sad. You know what I thought of? Oh, my God, thank God, I'll finally lose some weight because I'm a big woman. So anyway, so I started chemo and lost my hair. Of course, before I lost my hair, I had fun with it. I cut it off short. It was quite long. I cut it off short, and I asked my boss. I said, you know, I'm going to play with this. He said, do what you need to do. I was working temp at ExxonMobil. And so I dyed it pink, and then it fell out. I know, it was a lot of fun. And then when it fell out, it was really funny because it fell out on both sides of my head, so I kind of had a natural faux hawk. Then I had my head shaved. Well, let me tell you, chemo is no walk in the park. You know, it just amazes me that we as a civilized society are still using the same type of treatment as we did 50 years ago. I mean, we are so technologically advanced. What the heck are we doing? It was horrible. And anybody who has had to endure chemo, or anybody with a loved one who's had to endure chemo, knows what I'm talking about. It is not fun. After the fourth chemo, I am just miserable. And I said, I need to do something else. I cannot do this. And my mom and dad and I had always followed Dr. Brzezinski years ago because he was in Houston. You know, a Houston, and I don't want to say Houston native because he is from Poland, but he's been here for a long, long time. And his struggle, you know, to make changes within the medical industry. And of course, he's been labeled a quack. He's been poo-pooed, but he's had some very interesting results that just, you know, make people kind of wonder. So my dad, who is a follower and subscribes to Dr. Julian Whitaker's newsletter, he said, you know, Dr. Whitaker recently did another write-up on Dr. Brzezinski. Have you considered? And I said, you know, I totally forgot. So I immediately called Dr. Brzezinski's office. We talked. I went in, did the interview, and I was accepted. So, and it's scary. Do I go with chemotherapy, which is proven? Yeah, right. Or do I go with this new treatment that may be the most wonderful thing that's happened to me? Because when Dr. Keller diagnosed me, you know what he told me? Chemotherapy, mastectomy, radiation, you'll be fine. And I'm sitting there thinking, poisoning, amputation, burning me, and I'll be fine? Let me tell you, let me hold on to your gonads, Mr. Man, and say the same thing there and see how you feel. It took me about a month to make the decision to go with Dr. Brzezinski, truly and completely. People have different levels of religious beliefs, and I am totally, you know, everybody has their own path. And I prayed and prayed, and I believe I received some signs. And the signs were to go with Dr. Brzezinski. So with my heart feeling, I'm still very scared. Let me tell you, I'm still very scared. So I went with Dr. Brzezinski, just put myself in his hands. It's very expensive. Now, Dr. Keller supposedly pulled some strings. I'm doing my little air quotes marks there because people, air quotes, owed him favors. I got chemotherapy at a reduced rate, and I got, you know, surgery at a reduced rate. And I was thinking what a wonderful man this Dr. Keller was for doing this for me. Now I realized he was just covering his butt because he dropped the ball and he was trying to make things right. That's truly how I feel. I may be wrong. I don't think I am. I think he dropped the ball. He knew he dropped the ball. So anyway, I was paying out of my pocket for everything at a reduced rate. And this is something I need to tell anybody listening. If you do not have insurance, this is not the time for pride. You need to tell the hospital, the doctor, whoever, because they have rates that are called self-pay that are comparable to what you pay if you have insurance. And for example, my blood work, typically $400 a pop. And because I am self-pay and because I have said I cannot afford it, I get them for $10 a pop. Okay, so it's like that. People will help you. People want to help you. You just need to tell them. You need to, I mean, it is not the time for pride. I am fighting for my life. I'm not proud.
Denise, where can people learn more and where can they donate to help you out?
http://teamdenise, that's TEAMDENISE.org. I've always thought, and I thought, if I could get 150,000 people to donate $1 each, everything would be taken care of.
Denise, that would be so awesome, and that completely makes sense. I mean, you know, if people can donate a dollar, listeners out there, that would be great. You can go to Denise's website. You can go to my website. It's yourhealthradio.org to learn more. Denise, you really didn't have a chance to hear about your experiences at the Brzezinski Clinic and also how you're doing now, so I'd love to have you come back sometime really soon.
I'd love to because he is amazing. He really is.
I'm so glad that you were on today, and I look forward to having you back really soon in the next few months. Everyone, keep listening. Coming up in just a moment is Dr. Lisa Sanders, the author of Every Patient Tells a Story. She's also the technical advisor to the Fox hit TV show House, so keep listening.